You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
A couple weeks ago, we started talking about possessing the promise. Say it one more time with me, possessing the promise. And we started talking about how God has a promise for each of our lives. And it's this destiny, this vision that he wants to move us towards, and how that God uses vision as a vehicle to get you where you need to go. We started laying a foundation of how that without a vision, people perish. And how having vision and having a promise is so important to us, and how the promise is actually going to take some fighting to possess it. Amen. And that God has given us a charge. Last week we talked about God's charge to us. And God gave us a charge to possess, not just to know our promise, not just to talk about our promise, not just to dream about our promise, but in this season to possess the promise that God has given. So if that means we got to let some old things die, if that means we got to get more bold than we were in the last season, we're ready to do that. We're ready to step up and take more of a leadership role to see that happen in our lives. So God has a promise and he wants us to possess it. Last week we talked about the charge that God gave Joshua in Joshua 1. Well, I want to talk to you, continuing in that vein, when Joshua gives the charge to the people and their response to him. So if you will, go with me to Joshua 1:10. We're going to talk about what Joshua's charge was, and we can see something in that charge that's for us today. And then we see a response that the people have to that charge. Joshua 1:10 says, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days you will cross the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you. Then Joshua called together the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he told them, remember what Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. The Lord your God is giving you the place of rest. He has given you this land. Your wives, children, and livestock may remain here in the land Moses assigned to you in the east side of the Jordan River, but your strong warriors, fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them conquer their territory. Stay with them until the Lord gives them rest as he has given you rest. And until they do, to possess the land the Lord your God is giving them, only then may you return and settle here east on the east side of the Jordan River in the land that Moses, the servant of the Lord, assigned you. They answered Joshua, we will do whatever you command us, and we will go wherever you send us. We will obey you just as we obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Anyone who rebels against your orders and does not obey your words and everything you command will be put to death. So be strong and courageous. Now, that's a strong charge that Joshua gives, an even stronger response that the people have back to Joshua. And we see as we move into possessing our promise that we have to stop asking so many questions and start commanding things. We need to get up in the morning and begin to command our day, begin to command our atmosphere. There's something about when we take a more commanding approach to the pursuit of our promise. We have to stop being doubtful and command. Look at somebody and say, make a command. The first thing we see about Joshua is he begins to make commands. When I hear certain people's prayers, I want to just put some Joshua 1 on that prayer and say, be strong and courageous. Don't give a weak prayer. If you want to possess something, you need to give a strong command, a commanding prayer, and be strong and courageous. The Bible talks about coming boldly before the Lord. And this is the spirit that Joshua had in Joshua 1:10. He begins to command, make a command. Command the people and command the circumstances. Once you know what you're supposed to do, and how many know that you've received some type of word in the course of your life, and you say, I really feel like God has told me to do this. But be honest with me, have you ever gotten to that place where you begin to second guess yourself and ask the Lord for a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth confirmation? Anybody ever been there? We have to. It's all right to ask for a confirmation. But once you get a confirmation, settle it in your spirit and move forward with confidence. Because you have to command your circumstances. Far too often we hear the word of the Lord, we know our assignment, but we begin to second guess ourselves. God wants us to begin to command our atmosphere, command our circumstances in the name of Jesus, and command the devil to get out of our way. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I didn't amen hard enough on that. You need to command the devil to get out of your way, to get off of your stuff, to get off of your family. You need to begin to make some commands. The name of Jesus is, it can be a weapon if used correctly. I have an uncle that he writes the devil's name on the bottom of his shoes because he said, when I put my shoes on in the morning, I step on the devil. I put the devil in his place because that's what Jesus told me to do. I make commands of my day. And so we need to learn how to use the name of Jesus. When we get out of the bed in the morning, demons should be running for cover. They should be looking for safety because they know something's happening. Somebody's waking up with a commanding attitude to move forward into the purpose that God has given them. Jesus said it this way. He said, use my name. Ask things in my name. He said, when you speak and when you command the mountains, they're going to move. Look at somebody say, use the name. Then Joshua tells them to take provisions. Say it with me. Take provisions. Get what you need to sustain you where you are going. Don't go without God's strategy. Don't go without being prayed up. Take the provisions you need. Do you need wisdom? Hang out with godly people. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Do you need encouragement? Do you need training? Take what you need into the next season. Too many Christians are in a rut. Too many Christians are stranded because they tried to go somewhere without provision. They tried to go to the place that God told them, but they didn't prepare themselves the way that God told them to prepare. Joshua said, take provisions. Do you need money? Do you need a mentor? Take what you need with you to possess your promise. Don't go into this next season unprepared. Do what you need to do. Activate what you need to activate. Take with you what you need to take with you. Sometimes we show up and we expect something to happen that we didn't bring with us. When I'm teaching worship leaders how to worship, I say, don't get up on the stage and expect something to happen that you didn't bring with you. If you expect the presence of the Lord to break out, make sure you brought the presence of the Lord with you. If you came to see joy, or you came to see a spirit of celebration break out, make sure you brought that spirit of celebration with you. Don't just get up on the stage and expect that thing to happen. Why do we do that? We go on the course of our destiny. We get to a place, we're halfway, and we expect for something to happen, and we didn't bring the correct provisions. And we get stranded unnecessarily. God didn't mean for you to get stranded. God didn't mean for the children of Israel to be stranded for 40 years. But they didn't take the courage and the faith that they needed, the provision that they needed to take the promise. Then Joshua says to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, don't rest until the battle is over. Come on, somebody get this in your spirit today. Don't take a nap on what God is doing in your life. Sometimes what happens is we're on the pathway to our breakthrough. We're on the pathway to our promise. And we get halfway there. God gives us a little breather and we set up camp. Joshua says, don't rest until the battle is over. Somebody needs to go home and write that on your refrigerator. Don't rest until the battle is over. Don't get complacent. Don't take a nap when you should be fighting. Don't get tired and break when you should be taking ground. Let me tell you something. When you get to know God, God will push you. God will push you like a good coach. How many ever had a good coach that pushed you? God is like that. He'll push you. He'll push you because God wants you to take ground. God wants you to get to the promise. You know, our kids, they're at that age when I'm working with them and we're outside running or we're outside playing soccer and we run for a little bit, they want to take a break after like 2 minutes. We just got out there and they want to take a water break. We just got out there. They want to sit down on the curb and take a break. You know, but we have to know that we have to run towards what God has given us. As believers, we do the same exact thing. We get the word. We receive the word. We're going to take the promise. God's got a promise. God's got a destiny. We get pumped up. And then 2 weeks later, 2 months later, we're taking a break. We're taking a rest. What's going on? What happened with your endurance? We're taking a rest. Joshua said, don't rest until the battle's over. It's all right to take a breather, but don't stop. Don't take a nap. Don't rest when you should be fighting. And then this is so powerful. The people start responding to Joshua. The people start responding to Joshua. They have such an amazing spirit because, let me tell you, frankly, they're tired of being in the desert. They've seen what their parents did, the mistakes their parents made, and they say, we're not doing that. We're going to be obedient to what God is saying this time. So they have a spirit to be obedient. Can I tell you, you need to be obedient to the call that God gives you. What God tells you to do in your life, be obedient to. Because God never gives you stuff that's not affiliated or orchestrated with your promise. God doesn't just give you busy work. Anybody ever felt like somebody gave you busy work? It was a boss or somebody, and you're like, this stuff really isn't important. There's nothing that God gives you that doesn't play into your promise. So we have to be obedient when God calls us. If God calls you to something, don't walk away. Don't give up. Don't deprioritize it. Come on, how many have been guilty of that? You deprioritize what God prioritized in your life. And don't get too busy. There was a time for me when I was a young minister. I was a young youth pastor, and God was really calling me into a deeper level of prayer. He was calling me to really enrich my prayer life. But I was so busy. I had a lot of excuses. I was busy writing new songs and hanging out with the youth leaders and talking about what cool new things we were going to do in the youth ministry. But when God calls you, you have to respond. Look at somebody say, respond. And I thank God that I did eventually respond to what he was calling me to do, because it's so important in the process of getting to your promise that you respond to the big things, to the small things, whatever God is asking you to do. When I look at this Bible, too many Christians are they're looking at it as optional or looking at it as debatable. Can I tell you today, this Bible is not a book of good ideas. This Bible is a book of the commands of God. And when we follow the commands of God, we prosper. When we follow the commands of God, we're successful. When we don't follow the commands of God, there's lack. We lack open doors. We lack finances. We lack things in our relationships. We lack things in our life when we don't obey the commands of God. When we start treating the commands of God as options of God. It's not options. It's not good ideas. These are the things that God commanded us to do because he feels that strong about you and I prospering. About you and I walking into our promise. So he gives us commands. But some Christians today, they pick and choose what they will obey and what they won't, and then they can't understand why they're not possessing their promise. They pick and choose. Can I tell you that the Word of God is not a buffet line? I'll have a little bit of the salad. No, put the salad back. I don't want that. Give me some of that high cholesterol stuff right there. We pick and choose. And then we wonder why we're not possessing. We come close to it. We walk by it. We've seen it. But we can't possess it because we didn't partake in everything. It's difficult sometimes to pick up your cross. To take some of the food on the buffet line that you don't want to eat. But you know it's good for you. To possess the promise, you have to follow his commands. I don't know what it is about Christians. Sometimes we feel entitled, like God owes us something. We take some scriptures out of context and we try to say, hey, these are the promises of God. I got them on quick draw. But we didn't read the pretext. We didn't read what God first requires of us. Because the promises of God are, if you do this, I'm going to meet you halfway. When you do this, I'm going to do that. And so we have to be careful when we take promises out of context, because then we can get frustrated and we can get upset at God and we can think God let us down when God never lets us down. Actually, we didn't read the pretext. Then the people say to Joshua, I love this, Joshua 1:17, we will be with you. We will be with you. This is something about leadership, that when you get with the right people, when you get under the right leadership, you can feel confident like these people were confident when they were saying, we're with you. We're with you. We're behind you. And the people were at a good place here. You know, that they say, we're going to follow you and we're going to do what you say. We're going to obey everything that you say as long as. They put a condition on here. And you can read this if you're reading. Make sure you read all the translations, because sometimes we just get into a habit of reading one translation. We might miss something here, but there's an important criteria that the people say, hey, listen, Joshua, we're behind you all the way. We're going to obey all your commands as long as, listen to this, as long as they put a criteria on obeying Joshua's leadership. You better put a condition on the relationships around you. You better put a condition on the leadership and the mentors in your life. You better put a condition on them. The people of God were at a good place. And so they realized, you know what? I'm going to obey everything that God is saying to me through you as long as God is with you. If God is with you, I'm with you. If God is with you, I'm going to obey everything that you said. So many times we get into trouble when we're obeying people that they've gone a different way. Their life isn't lining up with the word of God anymore. We didn't put that condition on our relationship. Listen, it's all right to have the right type of conditions. I don't expect you to listen to me if I'm not saying something that's from the word of God. I don't expect for you to follow me if I'm not preaching the scripture. It's so important, even in the relationships that are in your life. Are they lining up with the word of God? I think far too often we get off track. We get led astray because we're following or we're having relationship without condition. If someone ever starts teaching something that isn't lining up with the word of God, walk away. Walk away. Do yourself a favor and walk away. They're trying to lead you. They're trying to mentor you. And they are diverting from the word of God. Do yourself a favor. Say, I love you, but God is calling me over here. Amen. Deuces. Is God with you? Look at somebody and say, is God with you? Ask somebody, rather. Is God with you? This is the condition of the people's obedience to Joshua. This should be something that's in our spirit. Is the Lord with you? That simplifies your life so much. Is God with you? Because if God is with somebody, you can run with that person. You could trust that person. But if their life starts beginning to look incompatible with the Bible, be careful. Be careful. We need to judge our relationships this way. I heard Bishop Garlington say this one time. Man, this really resounded with me. We focus on loyalty when we should be focusing on faithfulness. In relationships, we use loyalty instead of faithfulness as a criteria. If loyalty is your criteria in a relationship, it can lead you to some gray areas. But if faithfulness is the foundation of our relationship, it will never lead you to violate Scripture. I'll help you, but I won't do that. I'll go with you, but I can't go there. Faithfulness is better than loyalty. We need to upgrade our relationship status. Amen. Somebody needs to go home and update your relationship status from loyalty to faithfulness. Because sometimes we're loyal to the wrong things or the wrong people, and it gets us in trouble instead of being faithful, because faithfulness is based in the Word of God. The Bible says that how can two walk together if they're not agreed? So that means, brother, I am with you 100% as long as we agree on this. If we stop agreeing on this, I still love you. I still will pray for you, but I can't walk with you. There are some places you're going to go that I can't go with you. I will pray for you. I'll come pick you up in the middle of the night when you messed yourself up, but I can't walk with you. Faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful. The people of God here were faithful to God, and in doing so were willing to follow Joshua. Will you stand with me today? We do this a little bit at Hope, and I want to do it today, and I think it's important that we have these opportunities when we check our heart, when we allow ourselves to be in the presence of God and ask some important questions. It's a point where we do a heart check. The people say to Joshua, "We will not rebel against what God is doing. And we will not allow others to rebel against what God is doing." They understood how precious obedience to what God is doing was. They realized that rebellion was what got their parents stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. So they were prepared to protect against any type of rebellion, any type of pushback from what God was saying and God was doing. They said, "Look, we won't rebel against what God is doing, and we're not going to let anybody else around us rebel against what God is doing," because they realized how subtle and how destructive rebellion can be. It can slip into our hearts. It can poison our intentions. Can you put your hand on your heart with me today? We have to check our own hearts, because this happens to us on different levels. God asks us something. Maybe it's big. Maybe it's something small. Maybe we say no, or maybe we just neglect it. Something in our heart just pushes back against what God has asked. And how often does that really limit the greatness of God's promises in our life? Something God is trying to open a door in our lives, but we don't see it because we are moving with reluctance. The Israel that walked through the desert were rebellious in a lot of ways, but the Israel that possessed the promise were submitted to what God was doing. They were submitted to God's word. Before the children of Israel possessed, they had to submit their hearts. Oh, catch this. Before the children of Israel possessed, they had to submit their hearts. Today, I want to pray over hearts. I want to open up the altar today because I want to give you an opportunity to be able to lay down stuff that's in your heart. Maybe there's something in your heart that's rebellious. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's a grudge. How many knows that unforgiveness can hold you back? It's the things that we hold in our heart oftentimes that keep us from possessing what God wants us to possess. They're about to sing a song, but I want you just, if that's you, you say, Pastor, I know I just need to lay some stuff down. There's been some stuff on my heart, some stuff I've picked up, maybe some stuff I've been holding on to, some grudges, some unforgiveness. There's something in my heart that's been pushing back against what God has asked me to do. I want you to lay it down today. Just come to the altar and let's lay it down in Jesus' name. Pray for each and every person here, God. Father, you know the condition of our heart even better than we do. You know us better than we know ourselves, God. We thank you, Lord, as we lift up our hands today, God, that you would touch our hearts. God, you would heal our hearts in the broken places. God, that you would help us forgive in the places that we need to learn to let go and forgive. God, I thank you, Lord, if we have grudges, if we have things, we have, God, any type of fears in our lives, rebellion in our lives. God, let us just lay it on your altar today, God. There's nothing like the cleansing, powerful work that you have for us. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.